Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Third Rock Paperback. I'm one of your hosts, Charles Sheeland.
And I'm the other host, Asia Bonilla. And you guessed it, we're back again with another episode this week, finishing They Whisper by Claire Fraze.
We're a podcast with the Nerd Party Network, and we read books, and then we talk about them with each other. Claire's publisher sent us a copy of the series for us to talk about, and we've been breaking these down the same way we do with all the books we read. And we don't receive any financial compensation for reading it. We just get free books. And I think that if you doubt that we're getting paid to review these books, I have a feeling that after this episode, you won't doubt that anymore, because I have a lot of thoughts.
Ooh, that's not great, but we'll see how that goes later on. But I'll go ahead and summarize the second half of They Whisper before we dive in. So Miles's condition has continued to deteriorate, but honestly, so does everything else, because someone starts attacking the teenage sleuths with a giant knife, and they discover that it's actually Richie, Francesca's older brother. Meanwhile, Leonard is trying to use Francesca to retrieve Evangeline's spirit from the other side, which is the young girl he murdered back when he was in the circus before he died too. And the squad decides that they're going to confront Leonard because they think that he is in Richie's body. And the plan is to exorcise Leonard from Richie's body and then put Miles' spirit into the body. But obviously this plan doesn't really work out for them. We'll go into depth throughout the episode on that. And it was just very, very chaotic with lots of different elements. So for my impression, I think Charles and I are definitely going to agree on that. This kind of continued like our criticism from the first half of the book. And there's just a lot going on. And I think, at least in the second half more so, there's even more violence. Like, there was violence in the first half too, but I feel like the amount of violence, it seems almost like just for like shock value. Like, it's not really like, it's starting to like not serve its purpose. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you felt that way, but I just, like, for people who've listened to the show for a while, like, I'm really into true crime stuff. And I think for me, of like why that stuff doesn't bother me is because generally you're listening to things like that have already happened. So you're hearing about things in the past tense. Like, you're not experiencing the violence, whereas in this story, like, we are living through it with the characters, so it's a lot more traumatizing and like uncomfortable to read. And like, I'm a person, like, I don't like horror or any kind of like scary movies, so maybe that's why I'm not enjoying this as much. And I definitely think this has more of a horror element to it, but it's just a lot. And I think that we both kind of, this is just not what we're into. So maybe for somebody who, people who like horror movies and stuff like that, and maybe they would be more into this, but I think that is what's turning me off. But at least the one thing keeping me going through the series is the development of Jonah and Shiloh's relationship, because that's honestly what I'm here for. That's just about it.
Yeah, I totally take your point. I don't know if I would go as far as to say I think the violence is gratuitous, but I definitely just, it's not something I enjoy, period. Like, it's not something I like to read about or watch or anything, so it's not my cup of tea anyway. And I know I've been saying this a little bit about different things in the book, but I just, it feels like there are too many elements. It feels like there are too many ideas. And so it seems a little busy, and I don't even know what the book is about anymore. And that's okay that things change, like, that, you know, and it's okay that books can be complex and they can have multiple, you know, subject matters and themes. But to me, I think there, personally, I think there are too many ideas, and therefore it's kind of hard to, I don't know. And now it also felt like this book was about violence too, because, you know, we have knife slashings, like, it, yeah, So I totally agree with you. I think it's not badly written or anything like that. I actually do like the characters themselves for the most part. I think they're interesting characters, but it's getting to the point where I'm just overwhelmed by concepts and not that interested in them because they're also not my cup of tea.
Yes. So speaking of all that, before we go any further, let's go ahead and give our official trigger warning for the rest of the episode for as we go more in depth. So as we've done on previous episodes in this series, we're just going to go ahead and I'm going to read the content warning that's actually listed on the copyright page of the book. So this episode will contain topics of violence, kidnapping, drug addiction, PTSD, alcoholism, mental abuse, and guns. So as always, if those don't seem like safe topics for you, probably skip this episode and skip this whole series because there is a lot of all of that.
Great. Thank you for doing that. So let's dive in. Shiloh visits Miles in his house and he is like decomposing like a vegetable. Like he does not look like he has 2 weeks left to live. He looks absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. And for me at this point, I'm just like, Miles needs to die so that everyone can move on already. And, you know, it's definitely not Shiloh's fault that he got shot because she ends up going to see him and he basically yells at her and is like, this is all your fault. Like, it should have been you as the person who got shot. And, you know, that is just a false statement, actually, because it's really not her fault. Miles is the one who said that he was in love with Shiloh. He's the one who loved her and wanted to help her. And everything that has happened to him was a result of his own choices. Like, no one forced him to like Shiloh or be in a relationship with her. But
I mean, she did bring him along. Like, yes, he did choose to be there.
But he made a choice. It's not like she held a gun to his head and like, you have to help me. He made a conscious decision and maybe he didn't realize what the consequences of that would have been. And I will say, as far as the shooting part, Shiloh is the one who, again, brought the gun to the situation, but
that's kind of where
I
understand what you're saying. I understand what he's saying, but there wasn't going to be a gun there otherwise. As we said last week, you know, guns don't kill people, kill people, except that if Miles wouldn't have been shot if there wasn't a gun, and Shiloh did bring the gun, so.
Okay, so yes. Okay, let's say Miles blames her for him getting shot because she's the one who brought the gun. Fine. That is just yet another reason that Shiloh needs to stop talking to Miles because he clearly doesn't, he hates you now. He blames you for his death and his eventual re-death because of his decomposing body. So she should move on is how I felt about it. That if that's how he wants to feel, he has every right to feel that way, but Shiloh shouldn't have to, or she shouldn't feel like she needs to keep like begging for his forgiveness when it's clear that he doesn't want to give it to her at this point.
That's valid. That I can tolerate. That I can agree with you on.
So yeah, I guess that's more so what I meant, because ultimately Miles is able to feel whatever he wants to feel and about the situation, and his feelings are valid because she did bring the gun, and if she wouldn't have, maybe most likely he wouldn't have gotten shot unless Leonard had his own gun.
And we didn't mention this last week, and shame on me for not including it, but Francesca can now actually cross over into the spirit world when she submerges her head in water. And that way she can kind of get spirits, like she can get two spirits that are like, quote unquote, passed on. And she does that in the cemetery, so she can actually take ghosts to their eternal rest, and she can bring them back from it as well. And she ends up accidentally bringing and leaving one of her friends, Mrs. Lewis, there, which is super sad, because this is, like, one of the ghosts that she, like, talks to all the time. And now she's, like, dumped her into the future abyss. But it is a power of Francesca's that she actually discovered at the end of last reading, but we didn't talk about it because, well, there were 500 bajillion other elements to talk about.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, so
Shiloh is literally being held by her father, and she was beating her hands against a wall, so kind of fell down the priority list, but it is a theme. It is important for this reading, so bringing it up now. And then we also get a retcon, so we get an error fix. So if you remember, I mentioned at one point that they didn't get punished for when they assaulted a teacher with a broom and broke and entered into a principal's office. They didn't get punished for that. But they did. This time, Jonah and Francesca got detention. And I was like, poor Jonah has to do detention for something Shiloh did. You know, because golden child Shiloh could never go to detention. But at least, like, I said that was like a weird plot point that they just kind of got off scot-free. And they didn't. They did actually have repercussions for their actions.
See, I told you not everything is completely unrealistic. And it makes sense that Shiloh and Miles would have gotten off easily because of what they're going through. In the public eye, at least.
I know.
And then, out of nowhere, as Jonah is walking home after this detention, he is attacked by some crazy masked person who's dressed up like a nun, and they have a giant knife, and they almost stab, like, Jonah in the stomach, and they end up cutting him pretty badly on his shoulder. And like I said in the last episode, since Jonah now has sold his soul to this orb, he's, like, that's predicting that he's gonna die soon. So, there we go. Immediately threatened.
I think you're right. I think the fact that he swore his soul to a witch was a pretty good indicator that he has to be next to die. Like, we need him to die in order to deal with that plot point and that crisis. And that's another element that is in this book, which that Jonah has sold his soul to a witch who's now dead. So, I think you are absolutely right that Jonah has a target on his back, but also, like, ugh. We need another teenager to die to get all these plot points. Like, there's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, that's... it's a lot.
But at least after he gets attacked, he and Shiloh make out. Very steamy, very exciting for them.
Honestly, best part of the whole book. I thought I was reading Bridgerton for a second, and I was like, oh, thank God, some romance to break it up.
Yeah, and it was nice, but it was short-lived.
It was very short-lived.
Also, we do get this confirmation. We talked about this last time, like, we were trying to understand Leonard's mechanics. And there's a quote, and it says, Leonard had to kill them before entering the body. I pulled the quote.
Yes, so I pulled the quote because this is actually mentioned a couple times in this reading where basically it's confirmed in the sense of this is at least what Shiloh seems to think, which we don't actually get confirmation from Leonard, so maybe this is something, this could be a plot twist later on that, you know, they're assuming this, but actually he's like, actually I inhabit the person with the body. But based on what Shiloh says, she says it multiple times, that basically their assumption is clear that, like, he has to kill the body before he can inhabit it, so only one soul at a time in a body. So, like, I do think it would be interesting if we eventually get confirmation of this from Leonard, since at this point, like, Shiloh is just assuming that because she wouldn't know, but it would be nice to get official confirmation from Leonard. But I guess if we never do, we can just assume that, like, this is what Claire Frey's thought of. That's what she thought of it as.
I mean, it's kind of how they're all acting with it. So, yeah, I guess it makes as much sense as anything makes sense in the series.
But, like, that could definitely be, like, a further plot point, because what if he ends up, like, inhabiting one of them?
Oh, my.
You know? And then it's, like, because they have this whole thing with, like, when they think it's Richie, that it's, like, oh, like, it's not actually him. Like, it's Leonard. Like, his body is dead. Or it's, like, what if Leonard, you know, further down the line, inhabits one of them, possesses them, and it's, like, they're still inside. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Oh my goodness, as if we need to give her any more ideas to put into the series. But yes, I mean, that's kind of what I was predicting after the last book, that he kind of control, like, he takes over the body, but, like, he's...
But I guess if that was the case, then I feel like there would have to be another way to get his soul out without killing the person. You know what I mean? Because if he was able to get in without killing them, then there must be a way to get him out.
Yes.
Which, again, would introduce magic and...
As if there isn't magic already.
That's where you lose me.
Also, the fact that then, like, you have to... Or you have to be prepared to kill off another character. Because, like, if you were to inhabit one of the kids, but you have to kill the body to get rid of him, like, that means that we have to kill off another character. So...
But I feel like that would still be... hard also because I feel like, I mean, I can save it more towards the end of the episode, but, like, again, where, like, Leonard's power still seems to be, like, he's a soul who can endlessly inhabit dead bodies. So, like, can he ever really be defeated? I mean, I guess their plan of, like, locking up with the handcuffs. I mean, we could talk about that at the end.
Yeah. For theory. Let's talk about that because I've been wondering about that, too. So, I want to go back to Jonah and Shiloh making out because I pulled a quote from that moment as well. She was feeling badly about it. And then she said, after that, she was feeling badly about making out with Jonah. And she's like, but you know what? Miles broke up with me and told me he never wants to see me again. Going and kissing someone else wasn't wrong. And I was like, you go, girl. Girl boss energy. That's amazing. Like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't make out with his best friend, like, while he's literally dying. But, like, he did kind of tell you to stay away forever. So I think you're at liberty to go after any man you want. What do you think, Asia?
Absolutely. He literally said it should have been you who got shot. Yeah, I would definitely be making out with his best friend, too.
Oh, my God.
Also, it's not like she's doing it out of malicious intent. They actually genuinely like each other. Like, there's a difference. There's a difference between I want to get revenge on somebody who hurt me and, like, I'm going to make out with their best friend versus I actually really like him and I felt guilty about it. But now that, you know, my ex is, like, throwing me away like trash because he hates me, maybe I shouldn't care so much about his feelings when he clearly doesn't care about mine. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
So then after this, they decide, or they think at least, that Richie is the person who attacked Jonah because he has, like, the same hat, which I feel like this wasn't clear enough logic, but it turns out to be right, I guess. And
the hat part made sense. When they figured out that it was Richie that attacked Jonah, they saw Richie out in the street, and he was wearing the same clothes. He wasn't wearing the nun outfit, but he had the same hat, so.
But, like, he had a hat on with an outfit. I think it was hard for me to, like, fully understand. But anyway, they identify him basically because, like, yeah, he had the same clothes. He had the same hat on. So, like, it must be him. Which, I guess I'm like, that's just so stupid that you just attack somebody and you didn't think to change your clothes. Like, I don't know. To me, that just is where, like, that didn't, like how you said some things don't seem realistic. That doesn't seem realistic. But maybe, like, Richie is supposed to be stupid. So, like, that's a part of his character. Mm-hmm. But because Richie's the one who attacked Jonah, they're now convinced that that must be who Leonard is possessing right now. And they basically convince themselves of that. And then, I mean, at that point, I was still skeptical because they tell Francesca, and Francesca's like, there's no way it's him. She lives with Richie. They've been living together for like a week. She's like, if it was Leonard, he would have killed me already.
Yeah.
So, which I was like, that makes sense. I think Francesca's right. But the thing that kind of converted me to, no, it's Leonard and he's using them, and, like, he did that so that they wouldn't suspect him, is because then Richie ends up breaking into Shiloh's house while Francesca is staying there, and he tries to kill her. She tries to kill her mom with a knife. So at that point, because I'm just like, why on earth would Richie, if this is not Leonard, this is just Richie, we know he's violent, but, like, what would what would get him to commit breaking and entering, like, full on break and enter into their house, then try to commit, like, multiple homicides? Like, I don't know. To me, it had to be, like, Leonard. And that's where, like, at this point, I was convinced.
Yeah, but me too. I thought that Francesca's logic was really good, especially when she's like, Richie got me the same food he always gets me. Like, it's true that that would not. It makes sense that if he was possessed by another person, he wouldn't. But yes, when Richie shows up in the middle of the night to murder all of them, I was like, come on. But also at this,
that's when I was like, yeah, well, because really quick, I just want to say, because Francesca, her reasoning, which I thought was really clever, she says that, like, Richie, when he's in a good mood, sometimes gets her specific snacks, like, from the grocery store. And she's like, if Leonard is inhabiting his body, and again, we're going off the assumption that Richie is dead, he wouldn't have access to his memory, so there's no way that he would know that. So, like, you're like, that makes sense. Like, it can't be him. But then I was like, well, he must have access to the memories because there's no way Richie just came in and tried to kill their whole family.
Yeah. But, you know, this is one of those things where I was like, it's too much. At this point, it's too much for me. Like, I can't deal with the stress of them having to be afraid for their lives in bed at home. You know, like, it's too many elements, and, like, I don't know, it's too much stress for me to, like, I don't read, obviously I don't mind, like, I can deal with heavy subjects in my reading, but I can't be stressed like this when I read. Like, when I choose to read, I don't want to
choose. You don't have your heart racing. What's going to happen next? Are they going to die? Like I said, it's like we're watching a horror movie. That's what I'm saying. People who are into that, like, jump scare feeling or being on the edge of your seat, they might enjoy something like that. But I think both of us are, like, not... I like suspenseful stuff, but, like, I don't like scary stuff. And I feel like this is definitely beginning to toe the line between suspense and, like, just terrifying.
I mean, when Shiloh goes, like, she's going to bed and she hears a noise downstairs. She brings Max into her room and she goes downstairs and there's a freaking man with a knife about to knife her mother. I'm like, it's too much. This woman has already been beaten within an inch of her life for 6 years. We don't need a knife. Like, we don't need a knife.
No, okay, yeah. I'll say, too, how this scene was described. Shiloh's, like, laying in bed, tossing and turning, and she says she hears somebody enter the house. I for sure thought she was being paranoid. I did not think we were actually getting a masked murderer coming, like, in the middle of the night. I did not think that was what... Like, I thought it was going to be, like, oh, she's going to look, and it was, like, Max getting a glass of water. Like, I was definitely not expecting that, and then when it was, I was, like... How on earth? And then when they reveal it's Richie, I'm like, why on earth is Richie gonna murder her and her family? Like, he has to be Leonard.
Yeah. So then they basically decide that since Miles is basically dead already, and Richie is dead, if Leonard is possessing him, they're gonna exorcise. You know, like an exorcism.
Like an exorcism.
Thank you. I'm like, I can't make it clear enough with my voice. They're going to exorcise Leonard's spirit and capture it with some magic handcuffs from his circus wagon because he has magic handcuffs that I guess can hold spirits. And I'm like, I feel like that should have been priority number one, is stop him from body jumping and grab the magic handcuffs and stop it. But whatever. Okay. They're going to exorcise his spirit, cuff him, and they're going to put Miles' spirit into Richie's body. Because if they do it quickly enough, Richie won't be decomposing. And I was like, okay, excellent plan. No notes, except that in fiction, as soon as you vocalize a plan, that almost guarantees something will go wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you're basically asking for it to get derailed by saying what your plan is.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good plan, I guess. And this also, to me, was, like, a very realistic way of how they were going to save Miles.
Yes, I liked
this. When Shiloh first introduces it, that to save Miles, we'll have to put him in someone else's body. I was like, okay, that is logical. That makes sense with what we've been presented for the world building.
Yes, I agree with that. But, of course, things start to spiral. Number one, Leonard turns in the gun that Shiloh used to kill him, which means Shiloh is basically caught. We've not been mentioning this, but both she and Jonah are basically being followed by the cops 24/7, particularly Jonah, and they really suspect Shiloh of committing murder, and they also say that she's, they want to charge her with the attempted murder of Miles as well. So it's a sticky spot for her, and because Leonard had the gun, he turned it into Connie and now basically framed Shiloh.
Yeah, this is definitely going to turn into an episode of Law and Order because Shiloh is definitely going to be arrested and have a trial and go to jail. Like, I feel like, I mean, like she said, once they have the gun, as soon as she said, once they run it, I mean, her DNA is on it. I mean, they were saying all their DNA is on it, but once they match the bullets to the gun, which will happen because they have the body, she's getting arrested. Like, she's definitely going to jail at least until she has a trial. Like, she could get acquitted.
And it's her father's gun.
Yeah, and, like, her father is a cop who hates her, and the town seems possibly corrupt with how they made her dad, who's an abuser, and let him still be a cop. So, just, that is my prediction at this point, that is definitely going to happen, because I feel like now that the gun is out there, like, unless they can get rid of the gun, or Shiloh can kill herself and go into another body, she's going to be going to jail, or at least temporarily, while she awaits trial.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But, yes. So, that was the first thing. Number two thing that goes wrong with their plan is that Francesca gets herself kidnapped by a stranger, which this was the most idiotic thing ever. So I don't even remember where Shiloh went to go buy like supplies basically for them to do the exorcism and stuff. And Francesca is sitting at Shiloh's house just like waiting, and she ends up receiving a text, which Jonah got them all like burner phones basically so they can all communicate. And so Francesca doesn't actually have like this person's number, but in the message it starts with like, "Hi, I am Miles," which red flag number one. Then it's basically saying like, "I need you to meet me at the labyrinth," and at the very end it says, "Please reply." So 1,000 red flags to that message, because I don't know about you, but I have never in my life messaged someone. Like, I'm thinking when you send a message to someone, like when you first get their number, you might say like, hi, it's Asia. I would never say, "Hi, I am Asia." I would never say that. Then I definitely would never say at the end, "Please reply," like a freaking robot. I just like, or like, or like an email, like when you're like, I look forward to hearing from you, like to somebody you're messaging, let alone somebody that's your friend. So weird. So huge red flag. So my thing is, the first thought that I would have said is, very suspicious. Maybe I'll give this person a call, you know, to confirm it's actually Miles, because anybody could be texting you since you can't confirm the number or anything. But of course, that's not her thought. At first, she's like, well, Shiloh told me not, because also they also have a pact right now that like they're not traveling alone at all, because Leonard is on the loose and he's already almost killed Jonah and Shiloh and Francesca almost with a knife. So, you know, why would you ever want to go out by yourself when like this is clear danger? So all of those things. But, you know, instead of, you know, taking a step back to be like, this doesn't seem quite right, Francesca's like, oh, Miles is in trouble. Shiloh would understand. Let me sneak out of the house, not tell anyone where I'm going, and go to this mysterious text, "I am Miles," to go meet Miles, who's a decaying corpse. I feel like he would have called you if he actually needed help. Like, I don't understand. So anyway, idiotic. So of course she goes to meet this person at the labyrinth, and what do you know? It's not Miles. Of course not. It's some random person, and it turns out that this is actually who Leonard is. It's like this older man.
He's Miles' mom's teaching assistant.
Yes, he's Miles' mom teaching assistant. It was just, I like this. I didn't like this, because to me, like, this was just like, I know sometimes they have to like have stupid moments as characters, but this was like too stupid for me. Like, I feel like she had to be an idiot. Like, I just don't understand. Like, there are so many warning signs. I can't remember if like Francesca had a phone.
It was red flag.
Also,
because
I wanted to say, like, this is also supposed to be taking place like in current times. Like, I keep thinking this is taking place in like the 90s, like before cell phones, but it's taking place in current times. It's just that like Shiloh doesn't have a cell phone.
I literally wrote in my notes, if she fell for that scam, she deserved to be caught. Like,
well, I mean, yes. So that's what I'm saying. The red flag number one, the scam, that, I mean, I know she doesn't have, she's not really had any friends, so maybe that's like what excuses that. But like, just, so even you're saying, okay, she didn't know that because she doesn't really text people. So she doesn't know if this is how normal people talk. She might have been like, seems kind of formal, but I wouldn't know. I've never had any friends. Okay, let's say we can excuse that. But again, the fact that Shiloh has literally said, do not leave, do not walk alone.
Also the fact that, like, and you guys know you're being hunted. You know you're being hunted.
You know you're being hunted, and, like, you think that, yes, Miles says he needs help. Don't you think if he actually needed help, he would have called you? And even if he didn't, wouldn't you want to confirm that it's him? Like, I just,
also, you wouldn't, I just wouldn't don't you want to know what the nature of the help that he needs is? Like, just showing up somewhere is not enough to help someone.
Yeah, and then on top of that, in the message, it also said, like, come alone, which, that, again, extremely suspicious. Like, I don't understand, like, why would Miles be asking you, Francesca, to come by yourself? Like, if anything, wouldn't he ask Jonah, who's supposed to be his best friend? And also, even if he did, like, shouldn't we all be worried for, like, Miles's, like, state of health? Like, is he even, like, he's not even a good enough state to be making decisions for himself. Like, he's the walking dead at this point. Like, I just think that it just didn't make sense. So this part, like, just really angered me, because, like, it served the plot, I guess, but, like, it just, to me, wasn't, like, it wasn't a good way of serving the plot. Like, I don't know how you felt about that moment.
Yeah, it also, it felt really out of character for Francesca, who is, like, a survivor. Like, she literally lives with abusive, crazy psycho brother. Like, she literally sleeps in the cemetery because she's like, it's safer than being in my trailer with my, like, psycho brother. And then all of a sudden, she's, like, completely hoodwinked by, like, the most obvious of scams. Like, I totally agree with you.
I guess it's also because Francesca's been presented as being, like, too nice, where, like, she gets walked all over. Like, we were first introduced to her character to, like, the mean girls were dumping trash over her. Like, they trap her inside the bathroom stall and dump trash on her head. And she knows it's coming. Like, it's not like she's not intelligent. It's just that she's not mean. Like, she is just nice and, like, turns the other cheek with everything, which is another frustrating character trait of her. But, like, that's something that's been presented, like, consistently. But, like, not being smart is not something I feel like that's been shown. Like, I feel like, if anything, she's been shown to be incredibly intelligent with, like, how she was able to convince Shiloh and them of, like, the ghosts and everything. And I feel like she is kind of overlooked. But I feel like right here, like,
it felt like a departure for her character. It felt like a departure.
Yes. It just didn't fit to me. And it was also, like, just frustrating because I feel like Francesca has been, like, making progress as a person. Like, how, you know, she used her superpowers to shove the girl 10 feet. And now we're, instead of, you know, being too nice, now we're being stupid. It's just, like, I don't know, frustrating as a reader.
I totally agree. So then the rest of the gang decides to attack Leonard. So they're prepping everything at Jonah's house, and the tension is high between Jonah and Shiloh, like, the sexy tension, like, it is there. But Miles is there, so obviously they can't, like, start making out in front of Miles' dying corpse.
With his unthinking eye. He'll never be able to look away. Miles sees all. Which, so, Jonah and Shiloh have, like, a little moment, like, Shiloh has to, like, in order to get the stuff, to go get the handcuffs, she, like, has to go through the river, so she's, like, soaking wet. And Jonah, like, drapes a quilt over her, and, like, they're having this moment, but then she goes to, like, talk to Miles while he tries to put her clothes in the dryer, and, like, she, like, holds Miles' hand and is basically, like, they kind of, like, reconcile, basically, because Miles is, like, I shouldn't have said that, like, you shouldn't, like, it's not your fault, like, I made all the decisions, like, because, again, he finds, like, sanity again, that it's, like, I understand him being mad at Shiloh, but, like, also he needs to take responsibility for his own actions.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're kind of, like, just, you know, reconciling, like I said, and then Jonah walks in on them, and I think the hardest part of this was he calls Shiloh by her name, Shiloh, and she even says, she's like, I think this is the first time he's called me Shiloh, like, since everything's gone down with Max. Like, he only calls her Scooby, so he's, like, clearly, like, pissed at her, and then afterwards she, like, tries to talk to him, and he's really mean to her. He's like, you know, this never could have worked or whatever. And I just was like, was this simple, like, jealousy because she was holding Miles' hand for, like, 1 second?
That's exactly what it was. Is he came in, she was holding Miles' hand.
So I wasn't sure if it was, I was assuming it was that, or because, like, also Jonah goes to, like, he gets, like, scolded by Aunt Mo for, like, a little bit. Like, that's what, like, takes him away while she's holding Miles' hand. So I was like, maybe Aunt Mo said something to him that pissed him off, and then on top of it was jealousy.
No, it's but all jealousy.
If it was a jealousy.
He literally says, he says, you know what, it's not like you're my girlfriend or anything like that. And she's like, well, I didn't even bring that up. Okay, thanks.
When he said that, I was like, my heart. Also, I was like, also because I think Shiloh says, she's like, but you said I was beautiful. And she's like, I sound so pathetic.
Yeah.
It was just heartbreaking.
It was. Okay. Before that, though, when she gets back and she's wet from, like, falling in the river, this was the most idiotic quote. This is the biggest red flag in the whole book. I pulled the quote. Okay. And it's not important for the plot, but it is the biggest red flag in the book. And so Shiloh's talking about Jonah, and she says, he snatched up a crocheted blanket from the couch and draped it over my shoulders. As much as I don't want to get it wet, the heavy knitting feels good. Bro, what? Like,
what's wrong with that?
She literally says it's a crocheted blanket, and then in the next line, she says the heavy knitting feels good. Those are two different things.
Okay. I don't think the average person would think that they're even different.
But, like, there's literally a different word. Like, you had to choose to say crocheted in one sentence, and you had to choose to say knitting in the other.
Well, what would you say? The heavy crochet feels good? I feel like that's not how you would say it.
Or the heavy fabric, or the heavy blanket feels good. Like, it's, you also don't say knitting because it's not knitting. It's crocheted. You just said it was crocheted.
That's, and like, those saying... those are like, different.
It's, you cannot get them confused. He snatched up a crocheted blanket from the couch and draped it over my shoulders. As much as I don't want to get it wet, the heavy steel feels good. Like, it's... no, it's not these, the same. These two things are not the same.
Crocheting and knitting are similar enough that she didn't want to repeat probably crochet, like, right that but close. But
that's factually incorrect.
Well, I don't think that... I don't think Shiloh saying, knows the difference between crochet and knitting.
But I'm saying, what is the point of saying one if you're not going to be consistent? He snatched up a knit blanket from the couch and draped it over my shoulders. As much because as I don't want to get
because that would sound
wet.
Repetitive. It would be like, oh, you, okay. Like when, you know when they say
but
like...
But again, it's one thing to be to avoid being repetitive. It's another to be wrong. Like, you're contradicting yourself.
What like, is a synonym for crochet? Because I'm telling you, this is probably what happened.
Synonym.
He snatched up a crochet.
Wait, just listen to this sentence. He snatched up a blanket from the couch and draped it over his shoulders.
Synonyms for crochet: darning, embroidery, knitting, lace,
okay,
quilting,
none
and
of those
sewing.
Are correct. None of those are correct.
Oh no, it does say synonyms and synonyms and words. Let me see. What is another name for crochet? Knitting.
That's incorrect. I'm sorry.
I understand that, like, for, you know, the knitting community, they might be offended because they're being compared to crochet. Because,
no,
you know, they're
not,
so different. But I'm saying from, like, the general population, she was probably just like, that's a synonym. It's similar.
I'm not offended. I'm just saying it's wrong. Like, I'm not offended for knitters. I'm saying it's incorrect. It would be like if she said... he added 7 apples and 3 apples, and then he gave me 20. Like, no, that's not how math works. Like, those two words don't mean the same thing. Like, and again...
please let us know if the use of crochet and knitting to refer to the same object bothers you, because I didn't realize when I read the outline that this is what Charles was going to say about this line. I thought you were going to say something about, like, why did she want a blanket? Like, I didn't know what you were going to say, but this is definitely not what I was expecting. The criticism when you wrote, bro, what? It's like, I don't know what he's talking about.
I literally
about.
Was reading the book, and I can literally visualize where it was on the page. It was in the bottom of the page, and it was the left-hand page.
I can imagine.
Page.
You said,
I literally
knitting.
Was like,
they just said it's a crochet.
I was like, that's so weird, because that's like saying he picked up a cat from the couch and draped it over my arms. As much as I didn't want to hold the cat, or as much as I didn't want to hold a dog, it felt good. Like, they're not the same thing.
That I don't think that it's that, they're that big of a difference, especially to the average person. Most people don't even know that there's a difference, I would bet. Listeners, let us know. Did you know that there's a difference between crocheting? Is that how you say that? Crocheting?
Yes.
Crocheting and knitting? Did you know that there's a difference? That those are two different techniques of making knitwear? Like,
no, it's not knitwear. It's crochet wear.
But it's the same. It's the idea of that you take yarn. Don't they both use yarn?
Yes.
Yes. They both use yarn and you use it to make something. It's just a different technique. So, no, it's not comparing... a dog and a cat. It's like comparing a pug and a German Shepherd, is what I would say. It's still within the same species. Like,
but again, if you specified that she was holding a German Shepherd, and then all of a sudden she was holding a pug, you'd be like, she's having a psychotic break.
No, I don't think so. It's still much more similar. It would be a closer dog, like a pug and a French Bulldog would be.
Again, for me, it's more that you didn't have to be specific, but you're wrong. You're specifically wrong. Like,
well, I would love that. That's the poll I'm going to put for this episode is.
Do you know that there's a difference between knitting and
crochet?
Between crochet.
Or I guess because I feel like people might know there's something different between them, but I'd say, would you use crochet and knitting,
interchangeably?
Like, interchangeably, exactly. Interchangeably. Would you use them interchangeably in, like, yeah, that is what I would say, because I think that is the context of this. She's using them interchangeably as opposed to, like, yeah.
Which, they're similar. I understand that they're similar, but they are not interchangeable.
But I already said, I can understand the thought process was that she did not want to say either of the words twice that close together. And when you Google, what's another word for crochet? Knitting comes up within the top 5 results.
Okay, well, just in case you aren't aware, crochet is done with one stick and it's a hook.
Oh my gosh.
There's a
hook.
What if
she had put the heavy embroidery? How good. I feel like all of the options weren't good.
Again, just say, she snatched up a blanket from the couch and draped it over my shoulders. As much as I didn't want to get it wet, the heavy knitting feels good. So problem solved.
Yeah, she could have just taken out the word crocheted. But, you know, maybe she wanted us to know that, you know, maybe this is going to come back later. Jonah actually is a crocheter. He crochets blankets to deal with his trauma.
But then why is it a heavy knit blanket if he's crocheting it?
Because,
like, I'm saying, because they look
Shiloh
different.
Shiloh knits, and so she doesn't know the difference. And they're Romeo and Juliet. So they met. Oh my god. So they've met, oh, and now god. They're going, okay, to mix their crochet and knitting love with each other so that they can fall in love forever. Okay.
Okay. Knitting is done with 2 needles.
Oh
two
my goodness.
Pointy sticks. And you are creating an even fabric. Crochet is done with 1 hook, and you're creating a knotted fabric. And they're very different. But anyway.
Anyway, moving on and back to our actual plot. So they finally go on their superhero Avengers quest to, you know, go murder Richie and trap the soul. Because, you know, we're still in a horror movie. And yes, this is when it definitely became too violent for me.
Which part? When they strangled Richie so much that he almost died in a plastic bag? Or when Leonard chops off one of Francesca's fingers? Or when they drown the police officer by accident?
No, they don't drown the police officer.
Yes, they do. He falls face first into a puddle.
Leonard kills the police officer. Leonard strangles him.
Oh, you're right. And they say that if he hadn't died from the strangulation, he's been face down in a puddle so long, he would have drowned. Gotcha.
Drowned.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
anyway,
fine.
So yeah, it was
sorry,
a lot.
Pick your poison of violence. My bad.
Yeah. So trigger warning again, because we're going to, I don't know, we're going to talk about it. And it was a lot of murder and attempted murder. And it's also just showing, like, how the characters are starting, like, their relationship to death and killing is obviously adapting. Because obviously, Shiloh's already killed. She's already shot dead Leonard with multiple gunshots. Then she's on top of Richie, like we said, smothering him with the plastic bag. And, like, she even has a moment of, like, hesitation, you know, when he's really starting to struggle for air. Like, he's gonna die. And she's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And then what gets her to keep going with it is that she's like, well, I have to kill Leonard. Like, this is the only way. And I don't know. I don't know how you feel. And, you know, I think I've talked about this before in other series that, like, I could never be the main character. I could never be the hero, the heroine, because I would have been like, you know what? Leonard can do whatever he wants. He, you know, we saved Max. That was enough for me. I'm not a hero. I don't want to go to jail. Like, when he would have started threatening with a gun, I would have been like, you know what? Do whatever you want. I'm moving on with my life. I don't know about you. But also just because their problem seems like there's no solution. Like, we're talking about how are they going to defeat him? But, again, maybe I'm just too easily ready to give up. But, so there's that happening. And then back to Francesca being captured by Leonard. Which I think we mentioned before how Leonard, the soothsayer, Wilma had told them about how Leonard, like, what kind of really messed him up is, like, some kids held him down and, like, cut off his 3rd and 4th fingers. And, like, ever since then, that's kind of, like, broke his, like, any sense of innocence he had. And, like, that's kind of why he's, like, pure evil. And when he has Francesca kidnapped, he's trying to get her to go get Evangeline's soul, and she's, like, refusing to do it because he's kidnapped this other girl to, you know, have a fresh body for her to go into. And since she's refusing, he ends up cutting one of her fingers off, and I was really uncomfortable during that. Like, I just, this is torture. Like, it's just a lot. And
well, that wasn't even the worst part of it. He does it, and she's like, nope, not gonna do it. And then he kills the girl, and he's like, well, now you better give me the soul, because I'm just gonna keep killing people until you finally retrieve the soul.
Yeah, see,
like,
I think
this girl only has like 5 minutes before she's not worthy.
Yeah, I think that. I was so desensitized by that point that it didn't even fully register. Yeah, because after he cuts off the fingers, then he just strangles this girl, literally kills her right in front of her. And it's like, well, now you've got to get the soul, or I'm going to go kill somebody else because I need a new, fresh body. So it's just a lot. It's a lot. So
it's also like, I don't mean to profile Claire Frazee in any way. You know,
this can't be good. If you had to start with that.
But no, I'm saying the headshot on the back of the cover of the book. She looks so kind and sweet and innocent, and I'm sure she is as a person. I think she and I would probably be friends. We're, like, the same age. But I'm like, her photo, she looks so nice. And then this is coming out of the book!
Okay,
they're killing each other!
And that's why, like, it's not that it's... I will say, I don't think that it's bad. Like, I don't think that it's a bad
story.
No,
I don't think it's bad either.
I think that, like I said, if you're into more, like, horror, gory, violence, like, I'm thinking, like, didn't, like, I mean, thriller. I never watched Game of Thrones, but isn't Game of Thrones really graphic and, like, violent? Like, I know people like it probably for the story, too, like, but, like, if, I guess, if you watched Game of Thrones for that, you would enjoy it.
Yeah, like, in Game of Thrones, when they were cutting off the guy's penis, like, I would skip those episodes. Like, when they were torturing him. Like, I would skip the scenes when he was getting flayed. Like, when his skin was getting cut off. Like,
okay, and this I is would why skip I haven't those. Watched that. Oh, my God.
Like,
anyway, so,
and the
I mean,
books were less violent than that. But.
But, so I'm saying, stuff like that, steps, you know. I guess, which, I don't know, in my brain, if that kind of stuff brings you enjoyment, maybe you need some therapy. Because that, to me, doesn't seem healthy. Personally.
I'm like, you need to watch some Bridgerton. You need to read some Bridgerton.
Like, I don't know. I just think that if you enjoy hearing about people being hurt, I don't know. I think that there could be some underlying issues going on. But, you know, maybe that's just me. But I, reading this kind of stuff makes me extremely uncomfortable. Especially, like, I'm not even talking about, like, when we've talked about, like, the abuse stuff. That makes me uncomfortable in a different way. But, like, Charles, I think, even said at the beginning, like, that's a different kind of heavy topic that I think it's important to, like...
Like, it's the kind of thing that we have to normalize, not
because it happens to people, about, whereas, I guess, people getting their fingers cut off as they threaten to kill somebody so that you can go and get someone's soul, that is just... Maybe that happens to people. I don't know. But I didn't know that that was something that happened to people. So it's like, this is not a story I guess I needed to hear because I didn't think I needed to be aware of this. But, you know, maybe I do. And I think what we said in the last episode about the extremely violent people chasing Francesca in the cornfield. Like, you know, there are people out there. So, you know, maybe this is a story that needs to be told because people deal with this and, you know, they need help. So maybe it does need to be normalized. Again. But I guess I just... This is, it's also just like we said, it's just the combination of everything, like, stacked on top of each other, where it just becomes like it's a lot. Whereas if it was like, okay, just her fingers getting cut off, but no, we've also got them strangling Richie to death, then Leonard strangling the police officer, like, it's just a lot.
And again, it also feels, I mean, I'm not here for the violence, but I feel like more than anything, it feels disconnected and disorganized, because we started with, again, I said this last episode too, but we started with Shiloh's getting abused at home and she's like in her first romance with her boyfriend and her brother gets kidnapped. And now we've ended up with, we're going to kill this guy so we can exorcise his ghost. And then we're going to kill the police officer so that he doesn't stop it. And then we're going to cut off her fingers so that she can go get a different ghost from another dimension. And it's like, again, it's for me, it's too much. I can't hold both the violence and the abuse and the ghosts and the interpersonal relationships. So, it's too many elements for me.
I would say I disagree. I don't think that it's disconnected. I think that it's more so I'm just not enjoying it. And I think, like we've basically, you know, said 1,000 times, I think it's just, we just don't like the graphic detail of it. Because I'm thinking in comparison to, like, The Hunger Games, which is, like, also a very violent story, like, at its core. And I think that The Hunger Games is just not that, it's just actually not that graphic. And I think that's the difference. And things that aren't as graphic are easier to swallow for the general public, whereas this is going to provide more shock value. It's going into detail, just like a show like Game of Thrones that shows scary stuff and nudity and stuff like that. It's more shocking. Not everybody wants to see that and can handle it. So I think, and that is where, like, sometimes for authors or storytellers, you know, they want to take that risk. Whereas, and this is a huger risk because not everyone's going to enjoy it. As you can see, we're clearly not necessarily enjoying it. And I think that's the difference. But I don't think, at least so far, I don't think that it's disconnected. I think that it's just overwhelming for us because we don't like it. And that's why, like, maybe it feels like you can't really dive into the story as much because you're, again, constantly being slapped in the face by more violence.
Okay, maybe. I think that's a fair point. So,
yeah, so let's go back to, you know, the plot. So let's give some context for all this. But basically, they end up figuring out, they confront the real Leonard, and he is actually in the body of Miles's mom's TA, which is how he was able to access Miles's phone to send that super suspicious message to Francesca. And he's, like, been around Miles and, like, knows about the drugs that he's taking, you know, to help him, like, prevent the decomposition. And, like we said with Francesca, he is able to actually, she's able to bring back Evangeline, and he puts her into the girl's body that he had kidnapped. And when that's happening, Francesca, like, escapes and is actually able to put Miles into the police officer, which I guess we didn't really talk about it, but this is the police officer that's basically been, like, stalking Jonah. And so he's been following him. So as Miles, Jonah, and Shiloh are trying to kill Richie, the police officer, his name is, like, Zwiering, Officer Zwiering or whatever, he, like, pulls his gun on them and is, like, everyone freeze, like, he's gonna arrest them, but Leonard comes from behind and ends up strangling him to death, which is why his body is dead. So that happens. He helps Richie get up, and basically this is also where we get the reveal of, like, what was going on with Richie, because, okay, that's Leonard, so why was Richie trying to kill them? Basically, he used, like, some other drugs that, again, the fortune teller, the soothsayer, Wilma, had told them about from the circus days. There was, like, a drug that they could use that would basically turn you into, like, a puppet. And that they would be able to brainwash you and make you do anything. So that's what he did to Richie. So Richie is obviously already, like, a pretty violent person. But basically, Leonard has brainwashed him into doing his bidding. So that's why he's, like, and his job was to basically murder everyone except Francesca. Murder the other three kids. Okay, this is a lot. Okay, so that's that. So after Leonard frees Richie, he gives Richie the police officer's gun and tells him to, you know, kill the three of them. And Francesca at this point has, like, snuck up to where they are. So, like, they're where Leonard and Francesca were is one place, and then where they are with Richie and the police officer is another place. And Shiloh basically distracts Richie and has him, like, chase her away. Jonah goes with Shiloh, and then
yes,
Leonard goes back to see if Evangeline is there. So it's just Francesca and Miles and the officer's dead body. So Francesca's like, boom, her, like, she has a light bulb go off. She's like, we'll put Miles into the officer's body. Now we don't have to kill anybody. He's already dead. So Miles
had... Also, we won't get charged with murdering a cop.
Yes, exactly, because he's already dead. So Miles had planned to, like, OD on his drugs, but it's taking too long, so Francesca ends up actually murdering Miles. She suffocates him, which, you know, now Francesca's killed somebody too, so, you know, we just have Jonah and Miles now have to kill somebody, I guess. So, and then she proceeds to put him into the police officer's body. And then when that happens, he ends up, like, waking up. But Francesca, Leonard comes.
Right as that happens, Francesca gets kidnapped again by Leonard.
And so we basically get left on a very serious cliffhanger. Because Leonard has taken Francesca. He's gotten Evangeline back in the body. So there.
We don't know if she's still there or if she, like,
or
ran,
if she
away,
ran away. But,
like, but she has been resurrected.
She's been resurrected. Leonard's got Francesca. Richie
and Shiloh, like, collapse.
They collapse.
But they did.
Does. Basically.
I don't know what happened with Richie.
Richie and Shiloh in general, like, they get in a fight, basically. Shiloh is, like, really badly beaten up. Like, probably has internal bleeding. Jonah's also super messed up. I mean, his shoulder is, like, out of its socket. I don't know. And he just, like, hits Richie on the head. So they don't kill him. But they're really, like, they need to go to the hospital, basically. They're really badly
beaten up. And the ambulance is on its way.
The ambulance is on its way. Miles is now the police officer. So that he shows up and they're like, oh my gosh, we saw you die. And he's like, it's me, guys. It's Miles. And this is because also the police officer had called for backup, obviously. So it's the police officers and ambulance are all on the way, basically. And this is literally the end of the book. Like, sirens in the distance. And basically Jonah and Shiloh and Miles all being like, what are we going to do now? So Jonah and Shiloh are badly beaten up. Also, this is when, like, Jonah, like, really cries because he thinks Shiloh is dead and, like, it, like, proves his love for her again.
And
but Shiloh's probably unconscious, so she missed it all, unfortunately.
And Leonard has Francesca, and we're like, what's happening next?
Yeah, so obviously, again, more questions because at this point, you know, Leonard has seemed to, like, accomplish his goal. He got Evangeline back. We don't know if she's with him, though, so I guess if she ran away, that could be, you know, his next mission is he's got to get her back. But if he does have her, even if she doesn't want to be there, like, what is his next goal? Like, does he just want to be with her? Or does he want to bring back more of his friends from the dead? Like, is because also,
like, his boyfriend.
Yeah, because
whose body he stole after he killed him.
Also because he says when he, like, grabs Francesca that he has big plans for her. So that would be, my assumption would be that he's either going to make her bring more people back or take people to the other side. So just a lot could happen, and yeah, I don't know. As far as...
Also, we still don't, and we don't even know, like, the cost of Francesca's, like, we know that her powers are aging her. Like, she just brought Miles back. She just went to the spirit world a couple times. Like, does that impact her? Like, we also don't even know how that's going to play out either. And it clearly, the powers don't seem to have the same effect on Leonard because he seems to be doing fine, but I mean, we don't know exactly, so we'll find out. But that's another complicating factor, is that Francesca's powers don't seem limitless to us.
Well, maybe it's also, I mean, the difference, obviously, between the two of them is that Leonard is just a spirit. Like, he doesn't have his own body, so maybe that's why it seems like he's not, it's not costing him. Whereas, like, it's affecting Francesca's body. Like, we don't know if it's affecting her actual soul. So maybe, like, that could be something that comes out that, like, Leonard actually, part of the reason why he died is because his powers were, you know, affecting his body. Like,
sure, and that's why he had to switch hosts all the time.
And so maybe, like, there's a potential that Francesca could do the same as Leonard. And yeah, I guess for me, like, where I'm at in the series, like, it's just, I do feel like Leonard has too many powers, and so it feels like I don't understand how they're going to defeat them unless maybe Francesca also becomes, like, just a spirit. And then that's the only way she's able to, like, defeat him is, like, by also sacrificing herself. Because at this point, I just, like, don't, like, again, he just seems like he's Thanos. Like, how do you beat Thanos?
Yeah. Well, also, it seems less and less clear of, like, what the next direction is. And, like, what he wants to, what his goals are. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out at the beginning of the next book.
Yeah, which, like, yeah, I think that that's interesting because that means that, like, you know, we go into the next book, like, intrigued to find that out.
I guess that's true.
But yes, I do, I'm thinking, especially because, I don't know if we've said this before, but I know I had originally thought this was a trilogy, but it's not. There's, like, there is another book coming after this next book, I think, that has not been released yet. We'll have to check her.
Yeah.
Do you know when it's coming out?
It looked like on the
in the fall of this year,
A fourth book called They Hunt is coming out.
So, and who knows if that's the end of the series. Like, that could still be, like, there could be more books. So, definitely interesting.
We've only been sent the first three, the three that have been published so far. Those are the ones that we've been sent. So those are the ones we're reading.
Yes. But I think that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't mean, it's hard. I feel like it was really negative. And besides the very end of this reading when it got super violent, I actually did enjoy it. Like, I actually like Claire's writing style. And I do like some of the character relationships. Like, it wasn't like I was like, there are books where, like, I'm reading it, I'm like, no, I just put it down. I mean, obviously, I have to read it for our work, but, like, for our show. But it wasn't like I was forcing myself to read it. Like, it's not that I disliked the actual experience of reading it. It's, I think, like you said, it's just not my style. So I would never choose to pick this up on my own. But it doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with the book itself.
Still better than Inkheart for me.
Oh, 5,000%.
Because I will say, it's pretty, like, that it's a fast read, too. It's a pretty easy read. It's, like, once you get past the violent parts, it's, like, not that big a deal. It's just the violent parts that I'm like, ooh, cringe, I'm uncomfortable. But overall, it's fine.
I read this reading in one day.
Yeah, he really did.
Like, it's a page-turner, but I just, no, I mean, nothing is, like, Inkheart. That.
I mean, I will say, the end of this book, I was like, I need to read the next book. I mean, they literally, like, it's the end of an episode, like, we need to keep going.
It felt like it was, like, a two-part season finale, where, like,
they give you
a
cliffhanger. Yeah, and it was the first part. It was part one, it's, like, to be continued.
And then you're, like, waiting for next week, for just the last week of the season, you're like, what if there's another cliffhanger at the end of last week? Like, yes, that's what it felt like.
It was, I will say, I did like the ending. That was a nice, it was a nice cliffhanger, because it was, I mean, I'd be really angry if we had to wait, like, a year for the next book to come out, but since we were able to just start reading the book.
Yes.
It's okay.
Okay, well, I think that's it. Let's wrap it up.
Okay, so next week we'll be reading the first half of the third book, which is called They Return, and that'll be the last book that is out so far, so that'll be it for this series. And if you're going to read along with us, we're reading the first half, which will be chapters 1 through 23.
And if you have predictions, theories, questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to talk about with us, just stay in touch with us on the Nerd Party website. You just head over to nerdparty.com/contact, and you select direct paperback, and that'll send us an email. And you can get in touch with the network on Twitter at @JordanNerdParty or Instagram at @TheNerdParty or Facebook.com/TheNerdParty. And I'm at Seashells on Instagram.
And I'm at AsiaBonia on TikTok and at Asia.Bonia on Instagram. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you rate and review the podcast and share it with your friends. And of course, check out the other podcasts on the Nerd Party Network. But make sure you subscribe to us so you don't miss us next week.
Yeah. Hit that subscribe button and have a good one. We'll see you next week.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.